Divorce Then Love. Chapter 531. She glanced at the rearview mirror, and after confirming that there were two cars following her, a smile tugged at the corner of her mouth. She drove off towards the outskirts of the city. The cars on the road were becoming fewer and fewer. Soon, those two cars gradually approached. They probably noticed that the direction Brianna was driving was becoming more and more skewed, so they began to act recklessly. Finally, Brianna's car came to a halt in a wasteland, and the two cars behind it promptly followed suit. She had just gotten out of the car when she saw five or six burly men, each with a strong and muscular build, getting out of the two cars behind her. They were clearly martial artists at first glance. Brianna looked at them with a cold expression, "Who sent you?" She thought over the people she had recently offended, and felt that the most likely one was a competitor from last Monday. In a bidding war, my corporation had defeated them, and their manager had left with a harsh threat, saying they wouldn't let them off. The burly man didn't say a word, he just charged forward with a rope, clearly intending to tie her up and take her away. Brianna saw the rope in the other party's hand, kicked the first person who rushed up, and looked at them with a smile that wasn't quite a smile. "You used just a rope to kidnap me." The other side clearly didn't expect Brianna to be so powerful. After a moment of shock, they exchanged glances and all rushed forward at once. In less than 5 minutes, everyone except Brianna was lying on the ground wailing, their faces bruised and swollen beyond recognition. Brianna casually picked up a person, coldly asking, "Who exactly sent you?" Seeing the other party not speaking, Brianna punched him a few more times. She didn't aim for vital parts, but it was enough to make anyone kneel and beg for mercy in pain. I said, we were sent by Mr. Baldwin." "Mr. Baldwin?" Brianna looked utterly baffled. She didn't know any boss with the surname She at all. "Why did he kidnap me?" "We didn't know. We were just following orders. Mr. Baldwin instructed us to kidnap you, slip you some aphrodisiac, and deliver you to young Master Hector's bed." Brianna frowned, saying coldly, "The Mr. Baldwin you're talking about? Hector's father?" The other party nodded. "Yes, Mr. Baldwin is particularly impressive, in Hazidan." Before he could finish speaking, he was knocked unconscious by a punch from Brianna. Having gotten the answer she wanted, she couldn't be bothered to waste any more time on these people. She got straight into the car and called William. "Go check who Hector's father was." After speaking, she immediately hung up the phone and drove away. Just upon reaching the top floor, William hurriedly approached. "Ms. Schneider, here are the documents you requested. Hector's father is named Albert, he is the president of the Baldwin Group in Hazidan. The Baldwin Group is one of the 8 great families in Hazidan, and above them are 4 prestigious clans." Brianna interrupted him impatiently, "I just want to know where he is now." "He was in Britannville right now. Ms. Schneider, were you interested in collaborating with the Baldwin family?" Although the Baldwin family was also involved in the clothing industry, they never agreed to cooperate with companies outside of Hazidan. A cold smirk curled up at the corner of Brianna's mouth as she said, word by word, "Give me his current address." Dare to kidnap her, how could she not give him a big gift in return? William looked at her smile, a chill involuntarily rising from the soles of his feet. The expression on Ms. Schneider's face didn't seem like she wanted to establish cooperation with the Baldwin family, but rather like she wanted to cause trouble for the Baldwin family. Chapter 532. Ms. Schneider, did Mr. Baldwin offend you in any way? Brianna frowned at him. William, you're a bit talkative today. William quickly lowered his head. No, I'll send you the address right away. After getting the address, Brianna pondered for a while and decided to go directly to find Albert. In less than an hour, Brianna's car had stopped in front of the Bridenville Hotel. Just got off the car, and saw Ryan coming out of the hotel lobby, looking a bit upset. Upon seeing each other, both of them had a bit of surprise in their eyes. Ryan was the first to speak. Ms. Schneider, what are you doing here? Brianna gave a slight smile. I came here to find someone. How about you? Ryan had come to tell Albert that Dr. Moon Wyatt might be able to save Hector, but Albert didn't buy it and had his men throw him out directly. Nothing happened at the hotel. Brianna nodded, not asking any further. All right, I'll go in first then. See you another day. It was not until Brianna's figure entered the hotel that Ryan hurriedly made a call to Maxim. Mr. Yoder, I ran into Ms. Schneider at the entrance of Bridenville Hotel. She said she was looking for someone. Could she possibly know about that matter? There was silence on the other end of the phone for a few seconds, then Maxim's cold voice rang out. Find out who she met at the hotel. When Ryan went to find the hotel manager to check the surveillance, Brianna was already standing at Albert's room door. She knocked on the door, and it quickly opened. The door was opened by an elderly man, roughly in his 50s or 60s. His expression changed upon seeing her. You. Brianna's expression was indifferent. I'm Brianna, I'm here to see Mr. Baldwin for some business. Could you please inform Mr. Baldwin? The old man quickly reacted, saying coldly, I don't know who this Mr. Baldwin you're talking about is. The expression on Brianna's face didn't change at all as she said slowly and clearly, I have evidence of Mr. Baldwin sending someone to kidnap me this morning. If you don't know Mr. Baldwin, then I'm afraid I'll have to hand this evidence over to the police. The old man's face turned ashen, and after several seconds, he gritted his teeth and said, wait here for a moment. Soon, the old man returned, but his face still looked terrible. The master asked you to come in. Brianna walked into the presidential suite with a calm demeanor. By the window of the living room, a person sat in a wheelchair, dressed in a gray suit, with slightly graying hair, his back turned to her. Standing about a meter behind him, Brianna said in a cold tone, Mr. Baldwin, dare to have someone kidnap me? Don't you even have the courage to face me in person? Albert manipulated his wheelchair to turn around, his face adorned with a hypocritical smile. Ms. Schneider, I didn't know what you were talking about. What was your purpose of coming here? The moment she saw his face, Brianna noticed that he bore a striking resemblance to Hector, both having thick eyebrows and big eyes. However, Albert's face bore the marks of time. Brianna chuckled lightly, pulling out a recording. Astonishingly, it was the conversation she had forced out of those who had been following her that morning. After listening, the smile on Albert's face remained unchanged. "Ms. Schneider, I don't know you, why would I kidnap you? I'm afraid someone is framing me. It would be better for Ms. Schneider to find out the truth." Brianna sneered, "How can you call me Ms. Schneider when we don't know each other? Mr. Baldwin, I don't have much patience. This is not Hazeton, and I'm not someone to be trifled with." Albert locked eyes with her for a few seconds, his voice growing cold, "You're just a small clothing company owner. It's your honor that my son is interested in you. If you're smart, you'll willingly climb into Hector's bed. If you can bear a male child for the Baldwin family, I can." Chapter 533. Brianna lowered her gaze, finally understanding Albert's intention. He probably knew that Hector didn't have much time left, so he wanted him to impregnate another woman before he died, to produce an heir for the Baldwin family. She slowly turned to Albert, raising an eyebrow, "According to Mr. Baldwin, it was an honor for me to be kidnapped by you." Albert sneered, "As long as you know. You should have known that I was Maxim's woman, right?" Albert's hand, resting on the armrest of his wheelchair, unconsciously tightened. He then sneered disdainfully, "The Yoder Group is only the first family in Britainville. If they were in Hazeton, they might not even make the list. Do you think I would be afraid of them?" Brianna nodded, walking towards Albert with a smile. "It seems that Mr. Baldwin has done his investigation thoroughly, so he thinks that no matter what he does to me, Maxim can't do anything to you, right? Of course, since you knew, then." Before the words were even finished, the wheelchair was kicked over by Brianna. Albert fell clumsily to the ground, his eyes filled with disbelief and fury. He pointed at Brianna and shouted angrily, "How dare you treat me like this? Do you know who I am?" The butler behind wanted to step forward to help Albert, but was frightened into immobility by the cold glance from Brianna. Brianna stepped on his hand, looking down at him from above, a smirk playing on her lips. "Why wouldn't I dare? You even had the audacity to kidnap me and drug me. What I've done to you is just child's play in comparison, isn't it?" Albert's face turned ashen with anger, he gritted his teeth and said, "I think you're just asking for trouble." "Oh." Brianna pressed down harder on his hand with her foot, only slowly lifting it when she saw Albert's face turn pale with pain. "Out of respect for you being Hector's father, I let you off this time. If you dare to scheme against me again, I will make you regret it." Having finished speaking, Brianna was about to turn around and leave when the room door was suddenly flung open. Maxim's cold face appeared at the doorway. After taking in the situation in the room, a flash of surprise crossed his eyes, and he quickly walked over to Brianna's side. "Are you okay?" On his way, he had already known about Albert hiring someone to kidnap Brianna, but he didn't expect that Brianna would actually find the hotel all by herself. Maxim, fearing she might be at a disadvantage, immediately rushed over from the Yoder Group. Seeing that she was all right, he finally breathed a sigh of relief. Brianna shook her head, "It's okay." Albert, lying on the ground, saw the two completely ignoring him and was instantly furious. "Mr. Yoder, your woman actually dared to let me fall from the wheelchair. I think the cooperation between the Baldwin Group and the Yoder Group doesn't need to continue anymore. What Mr. Baldwin said is exactly what I think. However, the matter of Mr. Baldwin kidnapping Brianna, I need to settle the score with you. Maxim released Brianna, walked up to Albert, and said with a cold gaze. Albert sneered, I'd like to see what you dare to do to me. Don't forget, Hector saved me before. Before he could finish speaking, Maxim had grabbed his chin and forcefully jerked it downwards. Ah! Accompanied by a scream, Albert's jaw had dislocated directly. Due to the pain, his face had swollen to the color of a pig's liver, yet he couldn't utter a single word. He could only stare intently at Maxim. As the head of the Baldwin family, he was adored wherever he went. When had he ever suffered such humiliation? Thinking of this, anger welled up in Albert's heart. He surely wouldn't let Brianna and Maxim off the hook. Chapter 534. Maxim didn't bother with him anymore. He stood up and turned to Brianna, saying, I'll handle this matter, you go back to work. Brianna had been planning to leave anyway. She nodded and said, well, after all, Mr. Baldwin is the president of the Baldwin Group, don't go too far. Don't worry, I had it under control. After Brianna left, Maxim had someone reattach Albert's jaw and then had him helped into a wheelchair to sit down. Albert thought he was scared of himself, sneered and said, doing these now is useless, I won't let the Yoder group off. Maxim was indifferent, toying with a lighter while he spoke nonchalantly, Mr. Baldwin seems to be mistaken, this is Britenville, not Hazeton. And even in Hazeton, he was not afraid of Albert. So what? Going against the Yoder group and the Baldwin group is like throwing an egg against a rock. If you know what's good for you, you'd send Brianna to Hector's bed, otherwise, I'll definitely make the Yoder group go bankrupt. The movement of Maxim's hand paused, and his gaze instantly turned icy cold. Did you kidnap her to put her in Hector's bed? Otherwise. If Hector didn't like her, a woman who had been married and had no background, at most, he would just play with her. Albert said arrogantly, completely unaware that Maxim's expression was getting colder and colder. Hee-hee. Maxim chuckled lightly, yet the aura he exuded was chillingly terrifying, causing an involuntary shiver. Albert finally noticed something was off with Maxim, his heart gave a sudden jolt. The next second, the neck was choked. A feeling of suffocation came over him, disbelief filled Albert's eyes. Seeing Maxim staring at him expressionlessly, his eyes filled with intense murderous intent, he finally began to feel fear in his heart. Maxim, if you kill me, the Yoder family will also face total annihilation. Due to lack of oxygen, his face had gradually turned blue and purple, and his struggling strength had slowly diminished. The butler on the side turned pale with fright, but he didn't dare to stop Maxim. Because at that moment, Maxim's expression was simply too terrifying, like a devil that had just emerged from hell, the terror was extreme. Ryan, who was standing nearby, feared that Maxim might actually kill Albert. He quickly stepped forward, Mr. Yoder, if Mr. Baldwin really dies in Britenville, it will not only impact the Yoder group, but also Ms. Schneider. Moreover, Mr. Baldwin is Mr. Baldwin's father, and Mr. Baldwin has saved Ms. Schneider before. Maxim's pupils suddenly constricted, abruptly letting go of Albert. Oxygen rushed into the lungs, causing a pain akin to a needle prick. Albert was sprawled on the ground, coughing ungracefully, still shaken. Maxim had truly wanted to kill him just now. Mr. Baldwin, if you dare to do anything to Brianna again, I assure you it will be the thing you regret the most in your life. After speaking, Maxim turned around and left directly. The suffocating tension in the living room dissipated, only then did the butler dare to help Albert up to sit down, and poured him a cup of warm water to drink. By the time Albert recovered, it was already more than 10 minutes later. The fear faded, replaced by a surge of endless humiliation and anger. She wished she could tear Brianna and Maxim into 1,000 pieces right then and there. "Call Hazetan immediately, I want the Yoder Group to go bankrupt within 3 days." No sooner had the words been spoken than the cell phone on the side suddenly rang. Just as the call connected, the angry voice of the second shareholder of the Baldwin Group came through. "Mr. Baldwin, weren't you supposed to go see Hector in Britainville? What on earth have you done? The Yoder Group just said they want to terminate our contract." Albert's expression was icy cold as he gritted his teeth and said, "I'm not only going to terminate my contract with the Yoder Group, but I'm also going to bankrupt them. Have you lost your mind? Collaborating with the Yoder Group was our best approach to breaking into the northern market." He couldn't understand why Albert would do such a thing that was harmful to others and himself. "Don't interfere anymore, do as I said." Chapter 535. After speaking, Albert immediately hung up the phone, his face terribly gloomy. Only when the Yoder Group went bankrupt could he vent his pent-up anger. And if Hazetan's partners knew that he was trampled underfoot by Brianna and Maxim in Britainville, he would definitely become the laughingstock of Hazetan's upper-class society, so the Yoder Group must die. On the other side, on the way back to the Yoder Group, Ryan hesitated for a long time, but still decided to speak his mind. "Mr. Yoder, you shouldn't have been so impulsive today. Mr. Baldwin was greatly upset, he will surely retaliate against the Yoder Group." Maxim's expression was icy, "I won't regret doing this. If he couldn't even protect his own woman, what kind of man was he?" The Baldwin Group acted swiftly, and in less than a day, several major collaborations of the Yoder Group were taken away. The shareholders of the Yoder Group, having experienced the turmoil during Isaac's tenure as president of the Yoder Group, became restless. They feared a repeat of the previous crisis of the Yoder Group and hurriedly sought out Maxim. Unexpectedly, just as I arrived at the door of Maxim's office, I was piggybacked by Ryan. "Ryan, we needed to see Mr. Yoder, please step aside." "Exactly, we needed an explanation. Wasn't Mr. Yoder previously pushing for cooperation with the Baldwin? How did the Baldwin Group suddenly start stealing our company's partnerships? If Mr. Yoder didn't give us an explanation, we would stay here and not leave. Until Mr. Yoder came out." Seeing the shareholders' excited expressions, Ryan said somewhat helplessly, "I understand the concerns of all shareholders, but Mr. Yoder is not in the office right now, he has gone on a business trip." Despite Ryan's repeated explanations, the shareholders still didn't believe him and refused to leave, blocking the entrance to Maxim's office. Ryan still had a lot of work that Maxim had given him. After unsuccessfully trying to persuade him for a while, he sat down and continued working without further interference. He indeed didn't lie to the shareholders. Maxim was on the plane to Hazeton at that moment. The Baldwin Group could snatch the cooperation of the Yoder Group. Naturally, the Yoder Group could also snatch the cooperation of the Baldwin Group. If it hadn't been for Hector saving Brianna's life before, the one he had planned to collaborate with wouldn't have been the Baldwin Group at all. His trip to Hazeton was intended to meet with the originally planned collaborator. Soon, Maxim and Hazeton secretly signed a collaboration with Warren Schmidt, the president of the Schmidt Group. When leaving, he also took the opportunity to tell Warren about some of the weaknesses of the Baldwin Group that he had previously discovered. Warren looked at him with a smirk, "Mr. Yoder, are you asking me to be your gun?" Maxim was indifferent, "Mr. Schmidt, the market is only so big. If the Baldwin Group takes up more, the Schmidt Group takes up less. All I did was hand you a knife. This knife can take a portion of what the Baldwin Group occupies. It's a win-win situation for both of us." Warren laughed, "Mr. Yoder, you sure have a way with words. You clearly did it to get back at Albert, yet you still ended up being the good guy. I had already given you the thing, whether you want to use it or not, it's entirely up to you." Warren nodded, but in his mind, he was thinking that he must never go against Maxim in the future, otherwise he wouldn't even know how he died. On the other side, Brianna had asked Wyatt out. "Junior sister, have you made up your mind?" Brianna nodded. "Yes, I agree to him having the surgery, but it can't be performed until a week later." Wyatt furrowed his brow. "Why?" "I needed someone with me, but she was abroad and wouldn't be able to return for a week." Surprise flashed in Wyatt's eyes. "You're not talking about Annabelle, are you?" Don't forget, Annabelle was once a world-renowned divine doctor. Would the success rate of the surgery have increased if she could have come to help you?" If Annabelle helped me, I had a 50% chance." "All right, but if you perform surgery on Hector, your identity will probably be exposed. Do you want me to impersonate you again, like last time?" Chapter 536. Seeing her serious expression, Maxim had Ryan pour her a glass of water and then dismissed everyone. Suddenly, only the grandfather and grandson were left in the office. "Grandma, you sit first." Norma took a deep breath, sat down on the sofa, and said to Maxim, "Terminate the contract with the Schmidt Group within 3 days. Grandma, business is not child's play. Currently, the Baldwin Group is targeting the Yoder Group. If we offend the Schmidt Group at this time, the Yoder Group will only have the path of bankruptcy." A flash of anger passed through Norma's eyes. "Aren't you listening to me anymore?" "I wasn't unwilling to listen, but if you wanted me to terminate my collaboration with the Schmidt Group, you needed to provide a convincing reason." Norma's hand unconsciously tightened around her cane, a flash of sorrow in her eyes. She gritted her teeth and said, "There's no reason, I simply won't allow any collaboration with Hazeton's company, nor any association with the Hazeton family." Maxim lowered his gaze, and after a while, he slowly spoke. "Grandmother, Did you forbid me from contacting Hazatan's company because of the key issue? He sent people to investigate the mercenaries of Cold Night, but the results showed that after the people of Cold Night entered Hazatan with Isaac, they disappeared like a stone sinking into the sea, and no trace of them could be found. The people from Cold Night used Isaac for the purpose of the key, and they eventually disappeared after entering Hazatan. Now, Normal doesn't allow him to have any contact with the company in Hazatan, which inevitably makes him suspect it's related to the key. And what exactly that secret key was, what it was used for, he still didn't know up to now. Norma's face suddenly turned pale. Maxim, don't ask any more, there's no good in dealing with people from Hazatan, just listen to me, don't ask for reasons, okay? Grandma, I won't agree. Isaac and the people who killed Uncle and Aunt are hiding in Hazatan, and they have already set their sights on the Yoder family. Even if they can hide for a while, can they hide forever? Hide as long as you can. Maxim shook his head, Grandma, they didn't get the key. They will look for another opportunity to harm the Yoder family. And don't you want to avenge Uncle and Aunt? Norma's eyes gradually reddened as she stared at Maxim, uttering each word deliberately, those people are simply beyond our ability to contend with, Maxim. All I wish for now is for our family to live peacefully in Brittenville. That's enough. Grandma, you still don't understand, if the matter of the secret key is not resolved, the Yoder family can never be at peace. After a long silence, Norma said wearily, since I can't persuade you, I won't try anymore. Don't call me Grandma anymore. After speaking, Norma stood up and was about to leave. What exactly was the key? What was its use? Why did someone in Hazatan want the key? Norma's figure suddenly stiffened, then she murmured, don't ask any more, I don't want to talk about this. Grandma. Maxim quickly stepped in front of her, looking at her and saying, constant concessions will only lead the Yoder family into an irretrievable situation. Tell me the truth, at least give me a chance to decide whether to move forward or retreat. Norma looked up at him. The determination in Maxim's eyes involuntarily made her nose sting. She almost forgot, her grandson had already grown up into an adult, capable of shouldering a world of responsibilities. All right, I'll tell you everything. After taking a deep breath, Norma turned around and went back to the couch. An hour later, she finally left Maxim's office. No one knew what they had discussed in the office. Only after she left, Maxim called Ryan into the office and said coldly, start deploying our people in Hazatan, the more the better. Ryan was full of doubts, but he didn't ask. He nodded and said, all right, I'll get on it right away. After Ryan left, Maxim rubbed his brow, feeling heavy-hearted. After knowing what his grandmother had said, he had no intention of backing down at all, but decided to fight hard. Even if he lost terribly, he would not regret it. Buzz buzz. The phone on the table suddenly rang. Seeing it was Brianna, a touch of warmth crossed the cold depths of his eyes. Brianna, what happened? Maxim, I saw that the Baldwin group was dealing with the Yoder group. Was it because of what I did to Albert before that angered him, so he is now retaliating against the Yoder group? Chapter 537. Seeing her serious expression, Maxim had Ryan pour her a glass of water and then dismissed everyone. Suddenly, only the grandfather and grandson were left in the office. "Grandma, you sit first." Norma took a deep breath, sat down on the sofa, and said to Maxim, "Terminate the contract with the Schmidt Group within 3 days. Grandma, business is not child's play. Currently, the Baldwin Group is targeting the Yoder Group. If we offend the Schmidt Group at this time, the Yoder Group will only have the path of bankruptcy." A flash of anger passed through Norma's eyes. "Aren't you listening to me anymore?" "I wasn't unwilling to listen, but if you wanted me to terminate my collaboration with the Schmidt Group, you needed to provide a convincing reason." Norma's hand unconsciously tightened around her cane, a flash of sorrow in her eyes. She gritted her teeth and said, "There's no reason. I simply won't allow any collaboration with Hazeton's company, nor any association with the Hazeton family." Maxim lowered his gaze, and after a while, he slowly spoke. "Grandmother, did you forbid me from contacting Hazeton's company because of the key issue? He sent people to investigate the mercenaries of Cold Night, but the results showed that after the people of Cold Night entered Hazeton with Isaac, they disappeared like a stone sinking into the sea, and no trace of them could be found. The people from Cold Night used Isaac for the purpose of the key, and they eventually disappeared after entering Hazeton. Now, Normal doesn't allow him to have any contact with the company in Hazeton, which inevitably makes him suspect it's related to the key. And what exactly that secret key was, what it was used for, he still didn't know up to now." Norma's face suddenly turned pale. "Maxim, don't ask any more. There's no good in dealing with people from Hazeton. Just listen to me, don't ask for reasons, okay?" "Grandma, I won't agree. Isaac and the people who killed Uncle and Aunt are hiding in Hazeton, and they have already set their sights on the Yoder family. Even if they can hide for a while, can they hide forever?" "Hide as long as you can." Maxim shook his head. "Grandma, they didn't get the key. They will look for another opportunity to harm the Yoder family. And don't you want to avenge Uncle and Aunt?" Norma's eyes gradually reddened as she stared at Maxim, uttering each word deliberately. "Those people are simply beyond our ability to contend with, Maxim. All I wish for now is for our family to live peacefully in Britainville. That's enough. Grandma, you still don't understand. If the matter of the secret key is not resolved, the Yoder family can never be at peace." After a long silence, Norma said wearily, "Since I can't persuade you, I won't try anymore. Don't call me Grandma anymore." After speaking, Norma stood up and was about to leave. What exactly was the key? What was its use? Why did someone in Hazeton want the key? Norma's figure suddenly stiffened, then she murmured, "Don't ask any more, I don't want to talk about this. Grandma." Maxim quickly stepped in front of her, looking at her and saying, "Constant concessions will only lead the Yoder family into an irretrievable situation. Tell me the truth, at least give me a chance to decide whether to move forward or retreat." Norma looked up at him. The determination in Maxim's eyes involuntarily made her nose sting. She almost forgot, her grandson had already grown up into an adult, capable of shouldering a world of responsibilities. "All right, I'll tell you everything." After taking a deep breath, Norma turned around and went back to the couch. An hour later, she finally left Maxim's office. No one knew what they had discussed in the office. Only after she left, Maxim called Ryan into the office and said coldly, "Start deploying our people in Hazatan, the more the better." Ryan was full of doubts, but he didn't ask. He nodded and said, "All right, I'll get on it right away." After Ryan left, Maxim rubbed his brow, feeling heavy-hearted. After knowing what his grandmother had said, he had no intention of backing down at all, but decided to fight hard. Even if he lost terribly, he would not regret it. Buzz buzz. The phone on the table suddenly rang. Seeing it was Brianna, a touch of warmth crossed the cold depths of his eyes. "Brianna, what happened?" "Maxim, I saw that the Baldwin group was dealing with the Yoder group. Was it because of what I did to Albert before that angered him, so he is now retaliating against the Yoder group?" Chapter 538. Maxim's eyes turned cold. "This matter has nothing to do with you, you don't need to interfere." "I understand." There was silence on the other end of the phone for a few seconds before Brianna's low voice came through. Maxim didn't want her to worry about him, so he said, "No need to work overtime tonight, how about we go out for dinner together? Didn't you want to go to a private kitchen restaurant before?" "Next time, I had something going on tonight." "All right then." After hanging up the phone, Brianna dialed Wyatt's number. "Brother, I have a favor to ask of you. At night, Brit Enville Hotel." The butler said excitedly, "Sir, we've contacted Dr. Moon." A flash of surprise crossed Albert's eyes. "Really? Arrange a meeting with him immediately." "All right, I made a phone call." "No, you go and ask personally." Seeing how important it was for Albert to meet with Wyatt, the butler quickly left. 2 hours later, the butler returned and told Albert that he had arranged a meeting with Wyatt at the Western restaurant next to the hotel, scheduled for 10 in the morning. The next morning arrived quickly, and Albert was waiting early in the Western restaurant. "Master, there's no need to rush, we still have over an hour until the agreed time." Albert frowned. "Why is time passing so slowly? Are you sure you're not mistaken?" The butler couldn't help but laugh, saying, "You were too impatient." Albert sighed. "I'm at my wit's end. All the women I've found for him. These past 2 days have been driven away by him. I'm afraid to medicate him in case his body can't handle it. All I can do is hope for a miracle, that he will recover and accept the Baldwin group." As he spoke, a wave of guilt washed over Albert's face. If I had taken him into the Baldwin family when he was young, he wouldn't be so resistant to me now. One day, the young master would forgive you. I really hoped for such a day. At 10 in the morning, Wyatt showed up on time at the Western restaurant. "Mr. Baldwin, what did you need me for?" Albert didn't expect Wyatt to be so straightforward. He was taken aback for a moment before laughing and saying, "Dr. Whalon, I knew your father. You can just call me Uncle She." Wyatt chuckled without saying a word, picking up the tea in front of him and taking a sip. Seeing him not responding, the smile on Albert's face stiffened a bit. He felt somewhat annoyed, but thinking that he needed a favor from the other person, he forcibly suppressed his anger. "Dr. Whalon, I heard you are Dr. Moon? I came to you today because I want you to perform surgery on my son. Wyatt was silent for a few seconds, then slowly said, No, I just know Dr. Moon, I don't know who spread the rumor that I am Dr. Moon. Albert frowned, no wonder the Yoder family couldn't fit into Hazeton, they couldn't even find a proper doctor. Dr. Whalon, could you possibly recommend me to Dr. Moon? I've heard his medical skills are extraordinary, even capable of saving those on the brink of death. Wyatt looked somewhat troubled, he sighed, and said, Mr. Baldwin, it's not that I'm unwilling to recommend you, it's just that Dr. Moon is eccentric, she simply won't see anyone she doesn't want to. Dr. Whalon hasn't even asked yet, how does he know Dr. Moon doesn't want to see me? Is he afraid to help? Albert squinted, his face not looking too good. For him, the Whalon family was just a medical dynasty. Even though they had connections in Hazeton, if he wanted to annihilate the Whalon family, he had plenty of ways to do so. Chapter 539. If Wyatt took advantage of his kindness, then he wouldn't be polite anymore. Wyatt said innocently, then Mr. Baldwin should ask himself what he has done. What did that mean? After a moment of silence, Wyatt slowly said, Mr. Baldwin, Dr. Moon has a good relationship with the Yoder family. Now that you are dealing with the Yoder family, she naturally has objections towards you. If you want her to agree to save young Master Shi, I think it's best if you stop taking action against the Yoder family. Albert's face suddenly turned very ugly, you said Dr. Moon and the Yoder family were close. Wyatt nodded, yes. So, if I let the Yoder family go, Dr. Moon would be willing to meet with me. Mr. Baldwin, it wasn't that if you spared the Yoder family, Dr. Moon would meet with you. It was that you had spared the Yoder family, then Dr. Moon might possibly meet with you. Upon hearing this, Albert sneered, so you mean, he might still not see me. Yes, but having an opportunity is always better than not having one. You might want to consider it, Mr. Baldwin. However, if you can wait, young Master Shi doesn't have much time. Albert fell silent, he didn't want to let the Yoder family off the hook, and that Dr. Moon might not be able to save Hector either. What was the success rate of the surgery Dr. Moon performed on my son? He could never let go of the Yoder family, but in the end, he found out that they were no different from other doctors. 50%. A flash of shock and disbelief crossed Albert's eyes, he gritted his teeth and said, Is what you're saying true? If there really was a 50% success rate, it wouldn't be out of the question to let the Yoder family and Brianna go. I showed young Master Shi's medical report to Dr. Moon. All right, I agree to let the Yoder family go. Please ask Dr. Whalon to tell Dr. Moon that I would like to see him. Mr. Baldwin, if there's nothing else, I'll be on my way. Once I get in touch with Dr. Moon, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. After Wyatt left, the butler exclaimed excitedly, Sir, the young master is finally saved. However, Albert was not as pleased as one might imagine, his expression cold as he said, Anyone can talk big. If Hector were to be stuck on the operating table, I would definitely make Dr. Moon and the Yoder family pay with their lives. Having finished speaking, Albert was about to call his secretary to have her cease the attack on the Yoder group when his mobile screen suddenly lit up. Seeing it was the secretary, a flash of surprise crossed his eyes. As soon as the call connected, the secretary's somewhat flustered voice came through, "Mr. Baldwin, there have been some rumors detrimental to the Baldwin group circulating in the market, and someone is even planning to sue the Baldwin group." Albert's face darkened. "What's going on?" The secretary lowered her voice. "It's the families of those who had an accident at the construction site a year ago. They somehow obtained evidence proving that it was caused by the Baldwin group's lax supervision. Now, the families are suing for compensation, and someone is spreading this matter behind the scenes. The Baldwin group's shares have already fallen several points, and the shareholders are now having a meeting. They won't let me attend. What a mess. You go to the meeting room immediately, don't hang up the phone. All right." 2 minutes later, Albert's angry voice echoed throughout the Baldwin group's conference room. After venting his anger, upon hearing the shareholders' voices dissolving the meeting, Albert's rage finally subsided a bit. He had only been in Britannville for a few days, and they dared to hold a shareholders' meeting behind his back. They simply didn't take him seriously. After taking several deep breaths to steady himself, Albert continued to instruct his secretary, "Hold off on any actions against the Yoder group for now. We'll discuss everything once I return." "All right, Mr. Baldwin, what about the matter of those relatives wanting to sue the Baldwin group? Go find a lawyer to negotiate, see how much they want. If the negotiation doesn't go well, tell them to never speak up again." Chapter 540. "All right, I understood." After hanging up the phone, Albert looked out the window and sneered, "Just a bunch of lackeys from the Baldwin group, thinking they could pull some tricks while I was away. I won't let them off when I get back." On the other side, the Yoder group. Maxim had just finished a multinational meeting when he received a call from Warren. "Mr. Yoder, I heard that the Baldwin group has launched an attack against the Yoder group. The Yoder group has suffered significant losses these past few days, can it still hold up?" Sensing that he was testing whether he still had the ability to continue cooperating with him, Maxim spoke with a cold expression, "Mr. Schmidt, rest assured, losing a few collaborations won't have any impact on the Yoder group." "That's good. If Mr. Yoder needs any help, he can contact me at any time. After all, we are partners now, and I don't want any unexpected incidents in our cooperation." "No need, thank you." After hanging up the phone, Maxim took a look at the movements of the Baldwin group, his brow involuntarily furrowing. According to his estimation, the Baldwin group would only falter and be unable to continue dealing with the Yoder group after releasing the next wave of scandals in Warren at the earliest. How could their attitude change so quickly? While lost in thought, the cell phone suddenly rang. Upon seeing it was Kylie, a glint of coldness flashed in Maxim's eyes as he immediately hung up and blocked her. However, Kylie was relentless and sent him a text message from another number. "Maxim, I know you don't want to see me again. I sought you out today just to tell you that I've seen your sister meeting with a man several times these past few days. I was at a distance, but I managed to take a few photos and have already sent them to your email." Maxim's face turned cold instantly, he immediately opened his mailbox, and sure enough, he saw the photos sent by Kylie. His hand gripping the mouse unconsciously tightened. The person taking the photo was quite far away, so the picture wasn't very clear, but Maxim still recognized Brianna and Wyatt sitting in the cafe at a glance. After staring at the photo for quite a while, Maxim finally dialed Brianna's number. On the other side, Kylie saw that the email had been marked as read, a slow smile curling up at the corners of her mouth. It seemed that Maxim didn't trust Brianna that much, otherwise he would have opened the email he sent, instead of deleting it directly. Next, they just continued to use this method to gradually weaken their relationship. The phone had just connected when Maxim's voice came through coldly, "Brianna, have you met with Wyatt several times these past few days? What happened? Why didn't you tell me?" Maxim was upset. His girlfriend had met with another slash man, and he had to find out through someone else. After a 2 second silence, Brianna's voice turned a few degrees colder, "Are you questioning me now? Do you think there's something between me and Wyatt?" Maxim had tried to convince himself not to care, but not only did Brianna show no remorse or guilt, she was also so self-righteous that he could no longer suppress the anger in his heart. "I didn't want to overthink either, but I really couldn't figure out what business you had that required meeting with Wyatt so frequently. Maxim, I have my own social circle too. I just met Wyatt normally. If you think there's a problem with that, I have nothing to say." After speaking, she immediately hung up the phone. If Maxim called again, Brianna wouldn't answer. His expression was icy cold as he stood up and walked straight out of the office. "Prepare the car, I was going to meet Wyatt." An hour later, the black Maybach stopped in front of Wyatt's clinic.